This is Rami Mitzvah Parsha, Parsha Naso. It's the longest Parsha. And the awesome thing about having this Rami Mitzvah Parsha is everyone thinks you're really, really cool and much smarter than you actually are. Because on the one hand, you get up there and you're on the elite, you're on the Bima for like a half hour, 45 an hour. And everyone thinks, wow, this kid, he just keeps going and going and going. But anyone who looks at the...
Is it repetitive?
But everyone knows the secret of the Parsha is, right, at Chamishi, what do you have? You have the Korbanot of the Nisi'im, which is 12 tribes, and they all give the exact same Korban. It's what we read on Chanukah. It's not actually such a hard, Parsha to lead. It just seems like it's hard. So you get all the credit, but it's not actually that hard, as Nathan knows. But the question is, what's the pshat? Why does the Torah bother to repeat over and over and over and over again the exact same korban which every single tribe brought when the Nisi'im were offering their dedication sacrifice for the Mishkan? It's a classic question, and it's one that has to bother anyone who reads through the Parsha. And just like, couldn't God have just been like, and they all gave that one korban? Why does it have to go over and over and over again? Yeah, you hear the Shaila? You hear the Kasha? Any suggestions? Any ideas from the crowd?
I guess just to like show their own like individuality.
Okay, Gevalt. So that awesome. So we'll go there. So Nativa Shalom asked this question. By the way, if you guys don't know, Nativa Shalom has great shot questions and really meaningful answers. So if you haven't yet been exposed to it, I think their answers are always meaningful, whether they're shot or drush. It can be debatable, but almost always brings it to relatable, makes it something that applies to your life. So the Halakha Salon of a Rebbe answers as following, two answers. Answer number one is that each tribe decided on their own to bring that particular korban, with the bulls and this amount of sacrifices, and each one had their own specific kavanah, which is totally unique and different than the other nasi. So, for example, in Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav brought the 70 sacrifices to correspond to Malchus and this and that. And for Yisachar, the 70 was corresponding to something relating to Torah. Each one was giving the exact same gift, but they all had a completely different kavanah, right? Somehow it's uniquely related to their essence and to their tribe's essence. And spiritually speaking, when you're learning this, you're drawing that, you're being mamshich that koach onto yourself, says in Tiva Shalom, in Chassidus. But the idea is that Hashem wanted to make sure we understood that even though it seems so repetitive on the external level, if your kavanah is different, it's different in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem values it. And therefore it's worth repeating it over and over and over again. And this is obviously very applicable to us, especially I'd say in the realm of davening. Davening, we come to Shacharis, and we end up saying every single morning, same exact Tehillim, same Baruch Shemar, Asher Yishtabach, it might come a little late, so you skip a little bit here, maybe sing a little song there. But it's all basically the same Shemona Esrei. And a person has to ask himself, like at a certain point, like, come on God, like, does God really care? I said this yesterday, I'm going to say this tomorrow. It gets a little repetitive. Like, you know, what does it matter? And the Torah, I think, is strengthening us and giving us a pat on the back and saying, if you come in with a different attitude, if you have different experiences, if you have different kavanah, it may be the same body, but has a completely different soul every single day. And so it's a different davening experience. By the way, the main way, if you want to actually make your tefillah an exciting experience, besides for singing a new song every day, which I particularly espouse that idea, but besides for singing a new song, how do you make sure davening stays fresh and meaningful? Make a davening chavruta. If you ask me, before davening, me and Effie did it this year. We would learn twice a week, three times a week, but before davening, different words of the tefillah. And every day when I'm about to say that tefillah, that part of davening, I'm always excited to get up to it. And I'm thinking about it. Like today, yesterday we learned about Ruchei Olamim Nishtabach, how God is the life force of the world. And the whole davening, I'm like thinking about God being the life force, and I'm waiting to get up to that piece. So if you want to keep your davening fresh, keep learning about davening, especially before davening. But it's not just about davening. It's about all of your avodat Hashem. It's all about the kavanah. Classic, but true. Answer number two is given by my wife's Rebbetzin, Moraleya Golem. Moshav, she says the following answer from some Hasidic Rebbe. She says that once Yehuda gave his korban, the natural thing would be for Yisachar, for the next tribe, to not want to give the exact same korban. Right? That just seems kind of lame. What, I'm going to give the exact same thing as the first guy? That's like, it's boring. I want to give something more, something new, something different, right? If he sang that song for Kedusha, I'm not singing the exact same Kedusha song. No, I got to give my own Kedusha song, which is good. And we want to express our uniqueness. But in this case, what the Jewish people needed was to stress our achdut, our achidut, our oneness. And nobody wanted to feel like they were better than the other tribe. And they knew if I gave a korban, it would seem like they were trying to one-up the other tribe. So they all decided, even though they had completely different kavanot, to give the exact same korban to say that I don't want to be better, I just want to be on the same page as everyone else. And I think that's a beautiful lesson for us about the sensitivity that the Torah is trying to teach us, that yes, we want to shine, we want to shine our own individual light, but there are times when we want to tone down our individual light so as not to take away from the light of other people. I'll tell you a story that brings this out. So there was a great darshan, and he really knew how to blow away the crowd with his speeches. And he was invited to a bar mitzvah to speak, and it happened to be that the speaker before him gave a really lame speech, and really like was megamgem, and really like stuttered. So this rabbi is about to get up there, and he tells him, "I'm not feeling well today. I have a cough. I can't speak." And afterwards, his daughter asked him why he didn't do it, and it was obvious why he didn't do it. He didn't want to embarrass the speaker who had spoken before him by giving his amazing speech. And he didn't want to get up there and give a bad speech. He just said, you know what, this bar mitzvah doesn't need two speeches. And that's the type of sensitivity that I think that hopefully becoming a Talmud Chacham and a Yeshiva Bachar has taught us to do over the course of this year. And it's not just about the amount of tosas you know, but it's also about learning how to, when your Torah is applicable and how to apply your Torah in every situation. There are times when we have to step up to the game and let our Torah shine, and there are times when we need to be aware of the situation and let our Torah shine in a different way. So my blessing for you all for this summer is that we should learn lots and lots of Torah, and we should live Torah, and let the Torah of love and compassion and Derech Eretz shine out to the world. Shabbos.